Come on, Bobby.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up.
Yeah. This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
Hey, welcome to Tuesday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Curious as to what's happening with you guys. We did have a day off yesterday for MLK Day. So let's see what's happening with everybody as we do What's the Haps. Hey!
Hey! What's the Haps?
You know, a few days ago I was telling you that I'm now listed on the O-Town Wikipedia page as a former band member. And I was talking about where the O-Town song fell in my songs of best boy band songs of all time. So no better place because I spent the weekend putting together my top seven boy band songs. Because I wondered where All or Nothing from O-Town would fall in that. At number seven in my favorite boy band songs of all time is LFO Summer Girls.
Kids on the block had a bunch of hits. Chinese food makes me sick. And I think it's fly when girls stop by for the
you
summer.
You like that one?
Yeah.
If that's at seven, I wonder what the rest are going to be.
Yeah, because this
They're
is your jam.
All gonna be a,
this is
yeah.
a great one. And I know all the words. I memorized all the words of this song. Yeah, it's great. Number six in my top boy band songs of all time. And I went back a little bit. Into the Road, Boys to Men. Sing that one very well.
That's so good.
But it's a jam.
It's a little high.
Yeah, a little high. And it's by far the oldest. Most of these are right in that wheelhouse of when boy bands are humongous.
Okay.
And some would say Boys to Men, not even a boy band, but a vocal group. But aren't they all?
Sure.
Boys to Men didn't really dance, I don't think.
They like.
Like choreography. I don't.
Okay. I feel like they had some.
They swayed.
Like, things
a
they bit. Swayed and snapped together on beat.
Well, that's at six. At number five, one that you may not even know. I loved it so much. It's from a boy band called Westlife, who they were big in Europe.
What?
And it's called Swear It Again. Here.
Just you and I. I never want to see you cry. I never want to say goodbye.
You guys know this one?
Interesting, no.
Keep it up, Raymundo.
And I swear it all over again. And I never want to treat you bad.
You know
I can't say that I know this.
When I was
really, I, mean,
I was doing pop radio
bad.
In early days. This is a big one. I loved it.
And I swear it all over again.
Yeah, you really know this song.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Yeah. I was going to put it higher, but I know you guys wouldn't know it.
It didn't even beat out. I mean, it beat out LFO.
Because I really feel passionate about that
okay.
one.
Okay.
Number four, God Must Have Spent a Little More Time on You from NSYNC.
Your love is like a river. Peaceful and easy.
Peaceful and
easy.
Yeah.
A secret that I never could keep. When I look into your eyes, I know that it's true.
Take it, Amy.
God must have spent a little more time on you.
On you, on you, on you.
You know what country group covered that? Alabama.
Really?
Had a big hit with it.
Oh, wow.
With NSYNC in it, too. Number three in my boy band list, the top seven boy band songs of all time. Backstreet Boys, All I Have to Give.
But my love is all I have to give. Without you, I don't.
I knew most of this dance. My roommate, Courtney, and I at the time, dude, we love this song. We do like the hats and the chairs. It was on MTV all the time.
You all would reenact it.
Yeah, we recreate it sometimes. So that's number three. What was your favorite before we get into my top two, Amy? Do you have a favorite boy band song of all time?
I love I Want It That Way.
It's a good one. Backstreet Boys.
Did not make it?
No.
Well, NSYNC, I mean, probably not. All I can think of is Bye 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 right now, but that's not the one I would pick. What's the other NSYNC one that's like?
It's Gonna Be Me.
Nope.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, they have a lot of them.
Okay, what do you got?
And number two is O-Town, All or Nothing, my former band. As you can see, I like the emotional boy band stuff.
Yeah, you do.
Are you seeing the trend here?
Yes, we are.
End of the Road, Swear It Again, God Must Have Spent a Little More Time on You. Like, I definitely have a type.
Yes.
Is it all, or are we just friends?
Ah, so good. Okay, and my number one boy band song of all time, another emo boy band song. The only boy band hitting twice on the list is NSYNC, and the song is Gone.
Oh, that's good.
Gone.
Oh,
baby girl, you're gone. Oh, you're
gone. Girl, you're gone. Baby girl, you're gone. You're gone.
Dun, 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 dun.
Now, I don't want to make
excuses, baby. Don't change the fact that you're gone. No,
no, no. No. You know that one at all?
Yeah. Actually, if you were to just play that for me right now, I'd be like, oh, that's Justin Timberlake's song. But I guess it isn't.
It was near the end of them.
Yeah.
When he was doing like, there you go. Those, so as a follow-up, keep the joke up. If you ever want to call and just mention the fact that I was in, you know, used to follow me back when I was in O-Town.
That'd be
like
funny.
If you ever get on the show and just randomly you bring it up and say, yeah, I've been following you since you were in O-Town back in the day. That's a really funny joke to keep up for, yeah, for now on. So that's my top seven. That's what's happening with me. Hey!
What's the hat?
Amy?
So my friend sent me a video from like 2014 or something where she was on a scavenger hunt for a bachelorette party, which I also thought this was a good idea in case you're in charge of planning a bachelorette party. Like if you're out in a town with all your girlfriends, you kind of have different things you all have to go gather. And something she had to gather on video was marriage advice for her friend. And so she sent me this video and it's me giving marriage advice. And I didn't even remember making this video. She had just
had
run
you been
into
married,
me.
Though then
I was married. Okay. Yeah. I've been married almost 6 years.
And what was your advice?
7 years. I said, you know, people always say don't go to bed angry, but I say it's fine to go to bed angry because I feel like sometimes if you stay up late fighting, you're tired and that escalates the problem and then you don't get anything solved and then you're tired the next day and it just drags on. So just go ahead and go to sleep. You don't have to sleep separately, but just sleep together, go to sleep, and then sometimes you may wake up in the morning and be like, what were we even fighting about? Like, it's... Like,
I don't know if that's ever happened in my
well,
life
maybe.
Where you wake up and don't remember. Hey, you and your husband ever sleep in separate beds if you get into a fight?
No.
You'll just go to bed and build a pillow wall?
He has tried to go to the couch once, and I don't think I'll let him. But
you ever fight with your wife and have to sleep in every bed?
I'll do the couch.
Lunchbox?
I've slept on the couch one time. But it wasn't because she wanted me to, as I was more mad, and then she went upstairs, and I was like, you know what? You want to be rude to me? I'll just sleep on the couch.
Sometimes if I get really mad at myself, I'll sleep on the couch and leave the bed empty.
Oh, boy. You didn't do it. Yeah. Take that.
Take that, you. Yeah, that's a tough one. So what's the deal?
Just that, I guess, my marriage advice back then, and I still stick with it, is that it's okay. I guess don't feel like you have to solve every problem before you go to bed. Like you can wake up and probably have, maybe you will remember what it was. You won't forget it, but you can have a more thoughtful, rested conversation and be more rational.
Okay, there you have it. What's the haps? Hey!
What's the haps?
Lunchbox?
Well, last week, my co-ed soccer team, the Green Team, we wrapped up another season and it was probably our worst season in the last 4 or 5 seasons. And
what was your record?
We were like 3-6.
Oof.
Yeah, and we didn't make it very far in the playoffs, and so it was just like I had to evaluate the team. And after sitting on it for a week, I informed 2 people that they're no longer with the Green Team. I had to cut 2 people from our co-ed recreational soccer team. I feel like the team got stale, and everybody just felt comfortable with their position on the team. Like, I can do whatever I want. You know, this is our team. And we can't have that. We got to be moving forward, so I got to recruit a couple new players. One guy just never wanted to pass, and one girl, her attendance was poor. And then when she was there, I don't like to play defense. No, you play wherever I tell you to play. So,
aren't you like the old guy on the team?
Yeah, I'm the captain. So,
but are you the best? Should you be doing the cuts? Should you cut yourself?
No, the captain usually...
Yeah.
Like kind of manager, though. You wash the jerseys and stuff.
Well, I do bring the jerseys as a captain. No snacks. You're responsible for your own water, but if you do leave your water bottle, I'll pick it up and bring it to the next game. But I'm not the worst, and I give 100% effort. I'll play offense, defense, whatever. Wherever the team needs me, I'll put myself. I don't mind. Hey, if the goalie's out, I'll step in goal and block a couple shots. Whatever needs to be done. And that's what you need on a team, and these people weren't part of the team. It was all about them, and so, hey...
And you would never make that something all about you, for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, when we're trying to win, we have our worst season in a long time. Time to reevaluate, and that's what I did. And, you know, maybe they'll learn from their mistakes.
There you go. Hey!
What's the hat?
Eddie, wrap it up here.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know if I should feel annoyed or flattered, but there are a couple of dads in my neighborhood who are starting to copy things that I do. And I've noticed it.
Okay.
Like, I'm the skateboarder dad. I'm the one that kind of goes around the neighborhood with my skateboard and ride because we have good hills in my neighborhood. The last couple weeks, I've seen a couple other dads come down my house. Like, see him like, that's weird. That guy looked older. That's a dad. For sure, they saw me doing it, so they're like, ooh, let me do it.
Did you ever see any skateboarding dads prior to you skateboarding out?
Negative. Never. And that's one. And during Christmas time, I had this cool idea to get my porch lights and do one red and one green. Guess what? A couple weeks later, couple other houses I saw did the same thing. I wouldn't doubt that those are the same dads that are skateboarding.
How about you're just setting a trend?
Yeah.
Which I guess they're following trends, not they're copying. You didn't invent the skateboard or the double light.
I don't know. I feel like dads are like, ooh, I'm too old for skateboarding. But when they saw me do it, they're like, oh, maybe I'm not too old to do it.
Do you consider yourself a cool dad?
For sure. Yeah, Amy has these shirts, Cool Dads. I wear it all the time because I really believe.
Oh, is that officially what makes you a cool dad?
He does actually wear it.
I wear it a lot.
That makes you the opposite of a cool dad.
Oh.
That makes you an old dad.
Where do you put yourself on the cool scale of dads?
Like, what's my scale?
I don't know. Out of five.
Out of five? Five.
Oh, you're the coolest.
Oh, for sure.
But what about someone like a Keith Urban?
Well, I'd say me and Keith are fives.
Oh, wow. Just cool for different reasons.
Yeah. Oh, dude, we're both musicians. Like, Keith probably skateboards, too, around the neighborhood. Hmm.
What's going to stink is when you fall.
Yeah.
We don't heal like we used to.
You're right.
Do you wear knee pads?
No.
Do you wear a helmet?
No, I wouldn't be cool anymore.
Oh, I didn't think about that part of it. Dang, that's true. You wouldn't be cool anymore.
Right.
All right. Well, just stay healthy.
I will.
All right. Hey, that's What's the Haps. Hey.
Hey, What's the Haps?
Here's the Bobby Bones Show podcast highlight segment of the day.
The Bobby Bones Show.
This past weekend, Eddie and I went and did a couple comedy shows as the Raging Idiots in Washington, D.C. and Virginia Beach. And big shout out to the crowds, the people. We love seeing our people. Just so fun. And Eddie and I are in Virginia Beach. And he's like, hey, you should really get on this gambling app. We're all on it. Why don't you get on it? And I haven't gambled really in years and years because I just found myself going all or nothing. I don't need to be in that place. And so I download the app and I'm like, I don't know. And he kind of walks me through. He's like, oh, I got to just put in my referral code. You guys in your referral codes.
So Amy, if you sign someone up, you get $100 for referring someone.
Mm-hmm.
So Eddie gets $100 for me.
Correct.
Hopping in. And
well, they got some big games coming up. Arkansas, Kentucky was coming up. And then we had the NFL games on Sunday. I'm like, Bones, this is the time to sign up.
So I get in and I bet. I was like, great. And Eddie gets all this referral money. And I bet on Arkansas to beat Kentucky. And then we lost. So I lost everything because I didn't spread it out. I just was like, I uploaded all the money and just bet it all.
That was on you. Can't believe you did all that.
So I'm one bet in and I retired again. I'm out.
Are you done?
Done.
Did you have any urge to recharge?
No.
Okay. Because I don't get any money from the recharge. I'm just saying, Bones, it's not over. You got the Super Bowl coming up.
I work too hard for my money to gamble it.
But you can double it.
But
you know what I'm saying?
You're just trying to get free money to gamble.
No. Amy, it's over. I got the money. Now it's just for Bones.
Yeah, okay. I thought a little bit too. I guess something to bond over with Eddie, Gam, and Raymundo. I was gambling. I was like, I'll just hang out. And it's just not for me. I work too hard for my money to be betting on stupid games.
That's so you, though, to be one and done. Like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And you're like, all right, I'm done. I lost.
You know what? I'll tell you, over the weekend, too, an O-Town video resurfaced. Because I used to be a member of O-Town, the boy band, way back in the day. And so this video is from 2013. They actually posted it on their account. And it's the guy from O-Town. Eric, and TMZ went up to him. Here you go.
Dude, so I gotta ask you, man. I know O-Town's back together, and what's up with this dude, Bobby Bones? What's his problem? He's talking smack. Said he ain't gonna be down with the crew no more. What's going on?
Yeah, man. He said he's not gonna do it, man. He's doing his own thing. I guess he can't multitask. I mean, he wants to be an actor, and that's cool.
That was back when I was doing Band Slam, the movie.
Oh, cool, man.
But, yeah. So I didn't mean for this O-Town thing to grow into what it was. It was a short, little part of my life. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not getting back into O-Town. They are touring again. And so, but no, I saw that. The audio is kind of scratchy. Do you want to hear one more clip? This is, have all the audio. This is a TMZ video from Eric from O-Town.
How do you guys think you're going to manage without him?
You know, at first we were really hurt by it, to be honest with you. But we did something real special, and we weren't the best group in the world. We weren't NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, but we had a lot of fun doing what we did. And we made a lot of people feel good. I would just think he would want to jump on board and be a part of it, but he doesn't. And that's cool, you know? I mean, to each his own. We just want to go out and sing.
And they should go out and sing. I have no problem with that. I'm just doing my own thing now. So, but they posted it on their account.
Cause I want it all, or nothing at all.
Think about that.
Crazy, man. Yeah.
I hear you in there. It sounds so good.
You do you, Bones.
Thank you.
We back you up 100%.
It's so funny how this has turned into a thing. Even they're taking part in it.
What on earth?
That's how funny this whole thing. If any of you guys can ever call in, because I'm not going to mention much longer that it's a joke. I mentioned it once in an Instagram story as a joke that I used to be in the boy band O-Town. And then they saw it, and now they're in on the joke. The Wikipedia says I'm in the band. They're doing TMZ clips of old. That's them. They made that. So if you ever want to call and, like, you're in the backside of a conversation, be like, hey, I used to love you in O-Town. Like, just drop little things, because eventually I'm going to stop saying it's a joke. And it's just going to be something we're all in on together, this room and our listeners right now.
But here's the deal. I know it's a joke. And hearing that clip, I was like, is it a joke?
Right.
So I don't even know anymore.
Same. Yep.
Gotcha. Yeah. What if the whole joke's on you and I was in O-Town?
Yeah.
It's a reverse.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
Let's go over to our producer, Raymundo. Raymundo, what you got over there?
Instagram removed the IGTV button from their homepage after they discovered very few people clicked on it. In other news, Baby Trends recalled 2,000 of their popular strollers sold at Target, Amazon. They can collapse and possibly crush your kid. Take them back for a full refund. And finally, the Australian Open Tennis Tournament. They're in the first round. They're monitoring the air quality because of the wildfires, and they will delay matches if they have to.
Bobby Bones Show.
You guys reach out with so many questions. Morgan number two gathers them from Facebook and Twitter and texting. And let's check some of these. Question number one.
How do you decide what questions to ask artists when they come in?
Well, a couple things. One, Mike D, Hillary, they will gather just data on people, and they'll give it to me, and then I'll look it over, and I'll do a little research myself. But mostly, I think my interview style is a little different than most because I am listening to what they say, and most of the times, I am following something they just said instead of looking at questions. There are times in interviews I never look down at my page because I'll ask them one question and their answer will lead me to my next question. The hardest thing to do in an interview is to listen because you want to feel like you're prepared. And you want to have something ready just in case. So it's harder to just dial in, hear what they're saying because it leaves you a bit vulnerable in the interview. But I think that what I'm trying to do is focus on what they're talking about because there's always something good to lean into that they just spoke about. So how we do it is I'm briefed well by the team. I'm briefed well at night because I will also prepare and look over Wikipedia, Google. I'll Google image, look at their Instagrams. But then mostly I'll say, hey, how's it going? Well, it's good. Oh, why is it good? And then we'll just kind of roll downhill. Sometimes if it's a bad interview, I'll go back. Your third single, well, if it's just not going well, I'll go back to the page.
A lot of times they say in your interviews, they're like, oh, I've never been asked that question. Do you look for a question like that?
My goal with an interview is to ask questions that our audience is thinking they want to hear.
Okay.
So when someone says I've never been asked that, it's a badge of honor personally, but it's not always the best because sometimes a listener wants to hear the question that the artist feels like they've been asked 500 times that they just our listener hasn't heard yet because maybe they're not listening to these other outlets. So I'm trying to walk a fine line of both. Ask them the things that for sure our listeners want and very little about what's your inspiration. What's your... Most people don't care about that kind of crap.
Yeah.
The one that kind of stinks is when they go, oh man, I get asked that all the time. That hurts a little bit. And I know that too. But sometimes I just have to ask it. But I would say that's how we figure out our interviews like that. And then I have a weird way to pick who I'm going to interview on the show. I don't just bring in folks that we should talk to. We've actually shut down about 60% of the interview like load we've been doing in the past. So thanks for that question. I like that. Next one up.
When are you bringing back the draft?
Oh, that's a good question. Last year, we would do a draft twice a week. We'll now move it to once a week. But we've got together and we've come up with about 10 solid drafts. I would say probably February, the draft comes back. And Morgan number two is our champion. She has the stupid belt right in front of my face every day. I look at it. Every day I look at her, the belt sitting right on my face. But she is the champion. But in February, the draft will be back. All right, next up.
Can you make a Friday morning dance party mixtape that people can buy?
Well, no. But what we have is an iHeartRadio playlist of all the dance party songs. So you can get on iHeartRadio and check that out because we load it up. But we can't even put it on podcast or sell it because we don't own the music. And if we put music on podcast, that means you can on-demand play it for free, and that's why we can't legally. But if you go to iHeartRadio, what do they search if they want to find that? Do you know?
Just Friday morning dance party.
Okay, there you go. All right, what else?
Did Amy or Lunchbox ever get the house they both liked?
Good question. They both were looking for a new house. Amy to get her kids into a new school. Lunchbox because he just wanted to steal Amy's house. What was it?
No, I was there first.
Oh.
I was just looking to move, and we went to the open house, and like a week and a half later, Amy comes on the show and starts talking about how she's looking at the same house. And I had a panic attack. I was like, what in the world? Just because of the school districts and, you know, need more room now that I'm going to have a second kid. But we kind of backed off of it with the holidays and everything. There was too much going on, and we decided that needed too much work.
What'd you think?
Yeah, the house definitely needed a lot of work, but had so much potential. But we found a school for our kids. Luckily, that was the main goal, at least for January start, to where we didn't have to move.
So neither one of you went after that house, after the big hub? Because it was an off-the-air little thing, too.
Oh, yeah. I remember going to Bobby's office. I remember after Lunchbox said that, I think maybe even on the air, I texted my realtor right away, and I was like, what do we need to do?
Yeah, that's one of those that spilled over after the air. So neither one of you have it. Did anyone buy it?
I don't know.
I haven't even looked. I mean, holidays came, and like I said, too much work. I kind of gave up on it. And
Mike D raises his hand slowly.
And I was like, I bought it. You can have it.
Creeps back.
Yeah, so we're not moving for a while, hopefully.
Morgan, number two, you have another one.
Yeah, how much money was raised for St. Jude in the giveaway that you did with Ronnie Dunn?
That's a good question. I think it was about $50,000. Wow. Ronnie Dunn and I went into Cowboy Pictures, and then everybody bid $10. And we had a listener that came in. She won the contest. And she was from in between Austin and San Antonio. She flew up. We sent her the $1 million show. But for St. Jude, we made $50,000, around that much.
That's great.
So I appreciate everybody. I like to be able to close those up, too. We met the winner.
Mm-hmm.
We know how much money was raised. A lot of times we have no idea. So Morgan, number two, is that it?
I have one more.
One more. Go ahead.
Does Mike D feel like he can propose now that Raymundo finally did?
Okay, good. On this show, let me just kind of introduce you to the central cast in case you're new here. I'm Bobby. I sit at a big desk. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've found people in my life to just bring on the show more than to bring in radio people. We have Amy, who sits next to me, who was, I met her at a Culver's, a fast food place, and she was selling granite, and she came on the show because I was just like, man, you're so funny. And Lunchbox was doing sandwiches at Jason's Deli, brought him on the show. Eddie was my TV producer on local television in Austin, Texas. Morgan number two is doing digital in Wichita, then moved here. Raymundo is our audio guy who sits in the booth. I met you as an intern, huh?
Yeah.
And then he came over as an intern. That brings us to Mike D, who the question was about, now that you met a lot of the show. Mike D was an intern for a long time. We left Mike D. He stayed in Texas. We came to Nashville, and I got Mike D a job working the boards on the weekend, meaning just making sure that the thing was going. Then he got a weekend, and I said, Mike, you got to move to Nashville. He moved across the country, never been here, had his first ever girlfriend about a year ago.
Yeah, about a year and a half.
You're 20?
28.
And Raymundo finally proposed, and now it's... Do you feel like it's you?
Like I'm next?
Do you feel, though, like it's coming... Is it imminent?
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, man.
I did not expect that answer.
Wow. Oh, boy. Okay.
Have you looked at rings?
On my own time, I have.
Woo!
Not together.
Well, this is quite a bit of breaking news to me, too. Wow.
I'm just curious. Like, after Ray was talking about his search for an engagement ring, I just kind of wanted to get an idea of, like, what one would look like.
What does one cost?
I think about, like, $5,000, $7,000 are the ones I was looking at.
Okay. And
wow, is this the year of love?
Could be.
Oh, man. Back to back.
Unbelievable. Except it is believable.
It's
but if
totally
you asked
believable.
Me 2 years ago, I didn't really thought I had a shot. I got
true.
Nothing. So you think maybe 2020 is the year you get engaged?
Possibly.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm so proud of this guy.
Yeah.
Mike D.
Super cool.
He's come so far. Well, I don't know what to say. Pre-congratulations.
Yeah. For whatever happens.
Are you going to look at the ring with her, or are you just going to get it on your own?
I haven't got that far ahead. I don't know.
Does she have anyone that you could talk to about the ring?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
She have sisters?
No, but some of her friends I could probably hit up.
Is this tricky because she probably listens to the show, huh?
Yeah.
She's going to hear you've been looking at rings, dude.
Does she know you've been looking at rings?
No.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well, that's the end of the that's the end of the question segment. Appreciate that. Look at that. Mike D. For those that wonder what Mike D does on the show, if you hear a game, he wrote it. He comes up with all the games. He helps me organize the show every day. Wow. All right, thank you guys for all your questions.
Yes, Bobby Bones.
I'm going to play you a song. You tell me the movie that it's from mostly, okay?
Ooh.
So the answer on the paper is the real answer. Ready? Write your answers down. Amy, Lunchbox, video producer Eddie, head of digital, Morgan number two. Write your answer down. Here is the first song. Lose Yourself by Eminem. What movie is that from?
I'm in for the win.
Eminem.
I'm in.
Oh, wow. Amy?
8 Mile.
Lunchbox?
8 Mile.
Eddie?
Still have not seen it. 8 Mile.
Oh, my goodness.
Morgan, number 2?
8 Mile.
All right. You're all in. Song number 2. I've had the time of my life from Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes.
I'm in.
This is true.
I'm in for the win.
Amy.
Dirty Dancing.
Lunchbox.
Dirty Dancing.
Eddie.
Just watched it. Dirty Dancing.
Morgan, number 2.
Dirty Dancing.
You're all right. Which, by the way, when I watched that story about that movie, that was an unknown song that they brought last minute and said, here, this is the song you should do the last scene to.
Yep.
You love that show.
It's good.
It's good. The movies that made us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, name this. What movie is Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins from?
In for the win.
I'm in.
Everyone's in. Yeah. Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins. Amy.
Top Gun.
Lunchbox.
Top Gun.
Eddie.
Top Gun.
Morgan.
Top Gun.
Nice. All right. Let's make it a little harder.
Oh, here
Let's
we go.
Turn it up a level. Let's go to level 2. Next song. Don't you forget about me. Don't you forget about me by Simple Minds.
I'm in.
Wow. Whoa. Morgan comes in strong.
Oh, I'm in.
Oh.
All right, I'm in.
It's easy.
This is easy?
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds.
Forget about me.
Oh, man.
Don't.
Morgan number 2 knows it, so it has to be something.
3 seconds.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I'm guessing this one.
All right, Lunchbox?
Breakfast Club?
Correct.
Oh, my goodness!
Eddie?
The Breakfast Club.
Morgan?
Breakfast Club.
Amy?
Breakfast Club.
Nice. All right.
It's all right. Take a breath, Lunch.
Woo.
Next one up. Happy, happy by Pharrell. What movie is this from? Clap along and if you feel like happiness
is the truth. I'm in.
I'm in for the win.
Amy?
Hold on.
3 seconds. All right. Amy, what's your answer?
Minions.
Incorrect. Lunchbox?
Oh, it's...
Oh, man. I hope this is right. I put Sing.
Incorrect.
It's that other one.
Eddie.
Despicable Me.
Correct.
That's where the Minions are in.
Yes. Morgan?
I put Happy Feet.
Oh, Eddie is our winner! Play that song! Wow. Good job, Eddie. Nice work, Eddie is our winner. Well, I like that's a fun game. We'll do another one.
You have more on there?
In the next couple days. Yeah, I don't want to waste them right now.
Okay.
We'll do another one. Eddie is our winner. There he is.
Yeah.
I'm at Bombshell. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number 2's 30 Second Skinny.
Dolly Parton has teamed up with American Greetings Company for greeting cards that have classic Dolly-isms and even a fun e-card people can send their friends on their birthday with a smash-up of her song 9 to 5.
Any Dolly-isms of note on the list, like what these cards are going to have?
No word yet. She just says Dolly-isms in general.
Man, she can make so much money.
I've seen one of her quotes that says, like, it costs a lot to look trashy.
It costs a lot to look this cheap.
This cheap. That's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah, so maybe stuff like that, I would think.
I haven't watched the Dolly Parton Netflix shows yet. I guess I've kind of gotten off of them. I mean, because in my view of the shows I have now, it's kind of in the past. You loved them, though, huh?
Yeah, you have to watch them.
And how long are they?
They're an hour each, but they're different things each episode.
But I'm so into this Aaron Hernandez documentary right now.
Oh, yeah, it's so good.
Which is nothing like the Dolly Parton special.
It's actually like the opposite.
Yeah. What else you got, Morgan, number 2?
John Party says that he doesn't want to have a bachelor party.
What I used to think a bachelor party was, we definitely can't say it on air. I mean, we can, but no. I don't know. I don't even want to have a bachelor party. I'm done. I have a bachelor party every weekend with the band.
That guy's fun. So John Party and I, we're friends, right? He's going to the San Francisco 49ers game this past weekend, and he sends me, first of all, one picture, and he goes, "What do you think about my jacket?" And it's him in a 49ers brown jacket. And I reply back, because it was an old school jacket. Mm-hmm. I reply back. And I'm watching the Titans game, because he's headed over to the later game. And I'm like, It's pretty cool. I like that old school stuff. Then he sends me another one from behind. And then he starts doing a fashion show on my through my text of him. What do you think about the jacket now? That guy is so funny. If you don't know John Party, you should check out his music. One, that's awesome. But two, he's just a real fun guy. All right, what else?
And Thomas Rhett shared a cute video on his Instagram that his daughter, Ada James, wakes up every morning at least 1 hour before their other daughter, Willa Gray, and she immediately puts on her Elsa from Frozen dress and wants to play.
Eddie does that, too.
No, every day.
Yes, there you go. Is that it?
Yep, I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
As a six-time cancer survivor, Stacey Kimmel was chosen to be on a float in the Rose Parade in Pasadena. But the California mom is battling her seventh bout of cancer, and the effects from treatment left her too sick, so she had to cancel. So she said she was pretty crushed because she really wanted to do this. So the Foundation for Living Beauty, a nonprofit, stepped in. They helped set up her very own ceremony. Flowers, a convertible car, a trip down the exact parade route where she waved to people who had also been told about it.
That's
and
cool.
They were standing there. She got to wear the tiara. And so they recreated the whole thing for her because she was too sick.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Love it.
She said, you wake up and you have this opportunity and look what happens. I still get to be queen for a day. I love that. That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from San Antonio, Texas. A man was so excited, he got a new gun. He went to pick up two friends. He's like, guys, look at this new gun I just bought. So cool. And he's showing it off, and he accidentally hits the trigger and shoots both of them.
Where did he shoot them?
One in the hand, and the second person got hit in the hand and the leg.
Luckily, he didn't get shot in the lung or the heart or the head. Everybody lived, right?
Everybody lived, and he's cooperating with the authorities, and he had a permit and everything. He was just forgot the safety.
That's just not someone who uses a gun a lot. The first thing you do when you have any gun, anytime I touch a gun at all, the first thing you do is look if safety's on.
Or even if it's loaded. It's crazy.
I'm assuming it's a handgun, right?
Yeah, handgun.
What an idiot. You should not be able to get a gun after this, right?
You're right, yes.
All right, that's it.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up. This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
Amy, what happened with your son?
Man, I don't know. He busted out with some crazy rash on his stomach and his chest, and he was at school. And as the day went on, it just kept spreading and spreading and spreading. So they called and said, hey, you know, you're going to have to come pick your son up from school because we don't know what this is and we can't risk it spreading to other kids.
Did you do like Lunchbox did and take a nap and go get him later?
No. We rallied, we got him, and then, because we were already there in school and they had like an hour left, so then Stashira got out an hour early. So I will say, from all of this, though, we learned neither of the kids wanted to leave. They wanted to stay in school, so I was like, wow, this is amazing. Y'all really like school. I love this, so glad we learned this through this. But yeah, got him home. And
what was the rash?
We don't know. We still don't know. And it's still kind of there, but not as bad. So send him to school. Today's the first day he's going back because he had a holiday yesterday. So I guess we'll find out if he makes it through the day. Oh. But it
but
hasn't
should
spread.
Should you send him back?
Yes, because it hasn't spread to anybody else. And I sent a picture to the doctor and I did Benadryl and cortisone cream and it's getting better, but we still can't explain it. We don't know what is causing it. Stashira is convinced that he peed and rolled around in it.
Oh, because he still pees in the bed.
And she, you know, wants to be a doctor when she grows up. So she feels like she just diagnosed him. But I honestly don't know. And since she told him that, now he's like, oh, mom, I've really got to figure out why I wet the bed. He's like, I think it's because I'm just a deep sleeper and I don't wake up. And I'm like, okay. But I mean, her diagnosing him with that has ignited the we have to figure this out because now he's, even though we don't know if that's the reason, he's just all kinds of embarrassed and I feel bad for him.
Yeah, that stinks.
But he did say I could talk about it right now, so we're fine.
Yeah. Lunchbox, when your baby was sick and they called you to come pick up your baby, what was your move again?
Well, I was sick also. I wasn't feeling well. So I thought, oh, I'll just take my nap real quick. And they didn't leave a message when they called. So I thought it wasn't an emergency. I didn't think it was a big deal. So I just slept.
Well, you didn't know the baby was sick when they called you?
Right.
But why would they call you in the middle of the day?
That's what I didn't know. Since they didn't leave a voicemail, I figured that there was nothing wrong. Oh. It was no big deal. And then they called my wife. They called Eddie's phone. They called Eddie's wife. And then I showed up and they're like, we have a policy where you're not supposed to be here within 1 hour. And I said, yeah, well, I took a nap.
Oh, you told them. At least you're honest.
Yeah. I told them I was asleep and I didn't know that you guys needed me because you didn't leave a voicemail. And they told me my voicemail was full.
Oh, well, that's why.
Good one.
Let's look at the biggest songs in country music right now. At number 3, Lady Antebellum, What If I Never Get Over You. What if I'm trying, but then I close my eyes. John Party at number 2, Heartache Medication. And number 1, Dan and Shay and Justin Bieber with 10,000 Hours. Congrats to those guys. And you know, there's a whole Bobby cast with Shay from Dan and Shay. We talked for over an hour about how this song got together, his early life. Check that out. Search Bobby cast wherever you listen to podcasts. The biggest song in hip hop right now is Roxanne, Roxanne. Roxanne. All she wanna do is party all night. Roxanne. And the biggest song in pop music is Selena Gomez, Love You to Lose Me. This is the song about Justin Bieber, right? Yeah, it's just,
allegedly.
Yeah. It's a song about Justin Bieber. He's got two songs up here. One he's on and one is about him. Oh, I love that. By the way, let me just say hi to everybody that was in Washington, D.C. You know, we weren't on the air yesterday. We did a best of on MLK Day. But we played Washington, D.C. on Friday night, which was fantastic at the Warner Theater.
Awesome.
Just shout out to everybody from Northern Virginia, Maryland, D.C. who came out. And then we played our final show of our comedy tour in Virginia Beach and just love it over there. And want to say thanks to all of you guys for coming out to the show, too. And so that was the end of that comedy tour. We're still going to play some fairs and festivals as a full band, but it was a really fun 3 months. If you get a chance to see the show, we love it that you come out. It's the Raging Idiots, Eddie and myself. But just had a great weekend, so thank you guys for that. The Bobby Bones
Show. I hear you.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
To everyone except this man who pointed a bow at a 10-year-old girl and her mom in a road rage incident.
Oh, like a bow and
what?
Arrow.
What?
A Texas family says a mother and her 2 kids were in a car going to the dentist when a man pointed a compound bow at them because he had road rage. What? Yeah, she was taking her 10-year-old daughter to the dentist. A 3-year-old was in the car with them. Quote, so what happened yesterday was my mom was going to take me to the dentist to see how I was going to get my braces. And there was construction and the road narrows. And so a red car got behind them and started tailgating him. Police say the suspect pointed a compound bow at the car. So he pulls it up and a compound bow is...
pretty complicated bow.
Yeah.
Hunting bow and arrow.
So they said they were scared. They got the license plate and they got witness and they were able to find the person. He denied displaying a weapon, but they found a bow in the dumpster with 2 arrows.
Oh, there you go. Trauma, man, for those kids. Can you imagine seeing that and remembering that for the rest of your life?
I wonder, though, and by the way, he's in the wrong. He's got tattoos on his neck and his eyes and his face, so he for sure did it. Yeah, for sure he did it. That's the risk you take when you put tattoos on your neck and your face. Mm-hmm. If you make that bad decision, we expect that you made other bad decisions, too. So if I was the judge and it's like, all right, everything's even. All right, here comes this fella. Come on in, sir. Oh, that's a sweet tattoo on your eye. Guilty.
Oh, man.
Sweetest guy ever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you have a tattoo of a skull all down the right side of your cheek. Well, guilty. Get out of here. That would be what I would do.
Oh, my gosh.
And he also looks like he did it. And he does. So here's my tip about road rage and about being on a road. Someone cut you off. And you're upset about it because you feel like they disrespected you? You want to flip them off or yell at them? My encouragement to you is don't.
Oh.
For 2 reasons. Reason number 1, they may have a gun or a compound bow. Yeah, or one of those little bombs that you put inside a glass and you throw it over.
Oh my gosh.
A cocktail?
One of those Molotovs. You don't know what people have in their car. And all it takes is one dumb person to make one bad decision and your life is completely changed in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
2, my second part about this is there are times where you've also done really dumb things driving, accidentally or angrily, and you would like for someone to show you grace. And so I have, do you know how many times I've actually pulled in the middle across a intersection and I'm just stuck there and cars are coming up going, come on, man, move, you're so stupid. And I can't move because there's a car in front of me. And I'm the one that was the idiot and pulled up too far. And I've done that. So what I try to do when that happens to me is not get irritated. And instead of that going, that idiot, I go, oh, I've been that idiot. And I feel sorry for them. I try to empathize more than be angry with them. So also, if you have a compound bow, don't aim it toward people you're driving beside for any reason. This is a learning lesson for us, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course.
So good morning to everybody except this guy who pointed a bow at this family. By the way, let me say this. It's a tough shot. It's not like you're just going to run up with a gun and shoot somebody. There's some effort that has to be done with a bow. You might got to drive with his left knee a little bit.
Yeah, because he's using both hands on the bow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I tell you, yesterday where we are, it snowed for a little bit. And so as it's snowing and I was on the highway, it was like you just threw up a big thing that said traffic will instantly be terrible. It wasn't snowing and sticking. There was no reason people to slow down. People were white knuckling that steering wheel and no one was letting anyone out anywhere. And I accidentally drove up that side where you drive too far up, then you got to get in traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't mean to do it. It's not typically my style. And no one would let me in. So then when someone doesn't let you in, you got to just go. You got to just like stick your nose in and go, well, if you want to hit me, if it's worth it to you to hit me, then bring. You have to do that. I don't like being that person. But I was that person. And the person got mad at me. I just like to say to that person, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, good.
And this will be you at some point, too. Are you the person that drives up as far as you can, Amy, or do you?
No. No, I mean, like you, have I done it before? Yes. But is that typically me? No.
Who? Eddie, you?
I sometimes. Sometimes. It just depends if I'm running late.
Lunchbox, you?
Oh, absolutely. Drive all the way up. That's what the lane is there for. If the lane ended way back there, then you would have to get over. But they have a lane there for a reason. It's for me to use it all the way to the front.
Different strokes for different folks, what I say.
There you go. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So, Bobby, have you seen those things everywhere at the grocery store when you're checking out? You can, like, put your finger on there and you use your finger to pay?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, they have them at a grocery store by my house, but they're not activated yet. They've just been sitting there for like a year, I guess maybe waiting for the technology to get there. And then I read that Amazon is reportedly working on a way to store all your debit and credit card information by your handprint. And all customers would have to do when they want to check out is just wave. You don't even have to like press your finger or anything. When you wave, it has a digital doo-doo-doo-doo, and then, yeah, that's how you pay.
Well, I would like to say this. I know there are a lot of people out there thinking, well, I just don't want them to have more of my information. I was reading a story over the weekend about how they already have every piece of information about us. How there is a technology out there. So if you walk down the street, it's simply that law enforcement uses it. It can face recognition you, know all your friends, all your contact. It's already existing. They already have everything about you.
Wow.
So at this rate, since we're already all out there anyway, why not also make it easier on us is mine. Like if you already have everything, okay, well, I guess that stinks. Well, let's make life a little easier, okay? Put chips in my hand. I'm fine with
this. This doesn't even require a chip in your hand. Like, it's just they match your credit card with your handprint. And then I'm more for that than like chipping me.
Well, also, our faces and our phones, our fingertips and our phones, we've already got this kind of going.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
All I'm doing is saying to everyone who's listening, going, I don't want them having my information. They already do, so why not let your life be a little bit easier? I'm up for it. What I also like is you don't have to touch it because you'd probably get some kind of disease, some fingerprint germ. You know, because I don't like touching doorknobs. Also, wouldn't want to touch something that everybody's touching whenever they're walking out of the grocery store. So I, for one, one vote yay. Okay. On this technology. All right, what else?
All right, so the weirdest thing I've ever seen while I'm driving, like seeing like another driver do, is I saw a truck driver reading a book. Like, do you have any weird ones?
I mean, I've seen people like eating, with driving with their knees, texting on their phone all at the same time. Did someone see me playing a trumpet?
What?
Wasn't that a thing where somebody saw somebody playing a trumpet driving down the road? I feel like that was maybe a caller told us that. Someone was driving down the road going, burr, burr, like practicing trumpet.
Yeah.
Why? What's the story?
Maybe. Well, because a mom has sparked debate because she was breastfeeding while driving. She said there was no safe place to pull over, so she fed her hungry baby while she was behind the wheel.
Ooh.
Can't do that, huh?
You can't do that because it risks the baby if you get hit.
Okay.
Like, I get it. You got to feed the baby, but you have to pull over or something because if you have a wreck, if someone bumps you from behind and the baby hits the steering wheel, then that's trouble.
For full disclosure of the story, it was bumper to bumper. They were at a standstill
and she
was trapped. So she did. It's not like she was going 60 miles an hour breastfeeding, but still, you're right. If someone were to bump into her, then that baby goes right into the steering wheel.
Well, my official statement on this is it has to be in park. If you're in bumper to bumper, but you put the car in park, that's my feet away noise. But then, but you have to put the in park because one, you get your foot gets slide off. So I go one vote nay on this story.
Okay,
go ahead.
So if any parents are on the fence about their teenager getting Snapchat or other forms of social media and different things on their phone, Snapchat saved a 14-year-old girl that had been kidnapped. She had no idea where she was. She got put in the back of a trunk. She was drugged, disoriented.
Wow.
But finally, when she came to, she got her phone out and pulled up Snapchat and said, "Somebody help me. I'm in a random man's car. Where am I?" And then through Snapchat messaging with her friends and Snapchat location, they were able to find her.
That whole story, aside from Snapchat, is really scary.
Yeah.
Yes, very.
Wow.
And there's this guy, like a cybersecurity expert, commented on the story, and he said that using Snapchat to share your location is easier than calling 911 in dangerous situations.
Really having trouble saying the word Snapchat, aren't you, this morning? Like 0-for-4
so
far.
I don't know
why. Yeah, that's a crazy story. I don't know that if you're anti-Snapchat, that justifies it, but I'm glad that Snapchat was able to do that in this situation. Wow. Speaking of which, on Snapchat, they have this thing called Morgan number two, did you see it? Most romantic couples. And they have Morgan number two and I listed together, but when we did that bit where we're balancing on each other, and they're like, this is couple goals.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we made it.
Good for you guys.
We made it, yeah. Amy, is that it?
Yep, I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So sometimes you see strangers and maybe you feel it on your heart to like just perform a random act of kindness and you never know the difference it's going to make in someone's life. Like, for example, this mom was eating at McDonald's with her soldier son before he had to report back to Army duty. And she was recently diagnosed with cancer, so she didn't really know if she'd ever even see him again. So when a customer bought the breakfast for them, she said it just meant the world to her. And she went to Facebook and wrote, "You don't know how much I needed your brand of sunshine today." So it's just really special to her and it meant a lot.
And let that be a bit of inspiration to you, not you, Amy, but our listeners.
Yeah.
That the worst thing that can happen is if you try to be extra nice to somebody is that they don't receive it. That's the worst thing that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing, the normal thing is that it really affects someone's day. And think about the last time somebody did something for you randomly that was nice and how much you appreciated it. And you're just like, I can't believe that happened.
You're just like, oh, wow.
Like, you can do that. And it doesn't cost much or anything, just depending on the situation.
Yeah, anyway, it was just a breakfast at McDonald's.
Love that story. That's really what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
Jesse Alexander comes in later. Very excited about this. She wrote Lee Bryce, I Drive Your Truck.
I drive your truck.
And we'll get her to perform some of that. She also wrote Miley Cyrus, The Climb.
There's always gonna be another mountain.
Crazy story about how this song made it to Miley Cyrus. She'll perform that. And then she has a new song out called Mama Drank, which is so good.
Clean that kitchen.
And she'll sing. It'll be a good show today. I'm really excited about this. It's in about an hour. Over to Amy now, though, with the Morning Corny.
The Morning Corny.
Did you know the Secret Service isn't allowed to yell "get down" anymore if the president is in trouble?
No.
Yeah, they have to yell "Donald Duck."
Because it's Donald Trump.
But duck.
Yeah, like get down.
Yeah.
You like that one, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I might tell my kids that when I get home.
All right.
That was the Morning Corny.
Bobby Bones.
Yeah.
The Amazon guy, Jeff Bezos, bought a $5 million mansion with cash. Can you imagine?
Wow. That's nice.
The world's richest man expanded his empire and bought his neighbor's $5 million mansion with just cash. Now, by the way, it's worth $115 billion. But this bathroom, this place has four bedrooms, a maid's quarters, three fireplaces. The entire top floor is the master suite with a lounge and media room. His and her walk-in closets, plus dual baths and gold fixtures. I gotta tell you, I don't know what half those words mean. Through all that, I'm just reading stuff. I don't even know what some of that means. It's that fancy. And so he said, here's $5 million cash and just bought it. Wow. The neighbor's place. The neighbor's place to make his place bigger, right? Mm-hmm.
Like, of course.
That's the crazy part of it. Not even to have. He just wanted to extend. It's like building a deck, right? He just built a deck on the back of his house.
That's how we live our life. It would be a deck.
He's like, yeah. I just built a deck. That's crazy. I did a podcast with Lainey Wilson, who's one of my favorite new artists, so much so that I brought her and did our $1 million show with us. She's on the latest episode of the Bobbycast, and she talked about, because her and Luke Combs are longtime friends here in town. And here's a clip of Lainey Wilson, her song called Dirty Looks. Here you go. Getting dirty looks from people at the bar. Getting dirty looks, don't you know where you are. Getting dirty looks like... Lainey talked about the first time she saw Luke Combs perform in Nashville and that she knew it was probably going to be something pretty big.
I had not heard of Luke Combs. He was playing Tin Roof Revival, and he had just got finished playing. And I'm not the kind of person to like to walk up to people, especially back then, and be like, hey, I want to write with you. But I had this weird feeling. I walked straight up to him, tapped him. He was sitting on the pew, and I said, I want to write with you. I don't even think he had written in Nashville just yet. And he came back, so I was one of his first co-writes in town.
Yeah, Tin Roof's like a bar, for those wondering. Luke Combs is playing at a bar, and she sees him. And then they wrote for years together. Here is Lainey talking about how much she got paid because that show Yellowstone that you like, Amy?
Yeah, I love it.
They used one of her songs, and I was like, how much did they pay you for that?
Working overtime, actually got put into Yellowstone, the show Yellowstone on Paramount.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, it was the second season, first episode.
And so what do they pay you for that? You
know? $20,000.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. You sing the song in a show?
Yeah. I mean, it's not literally, it's like $20,000, that's it, period, done.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
She talked about her best paying gig was being a Hannah Montana impersonator. She would impersonate Hannah Montana. And she would have Lainey herself open up for Hannah Montana.
I had the wig. I had the outfits. A lot of the time, they didn't want Lainey Wilson there. They just wanted Hannah Montana to come to the party or whatever. So I'd get up there, sing a few songs, play my guitar. And
you would know the songs?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever do The Climb?
I did.
Was that your best paying gig?
Absolutely. I made way more money then than I do now, I'm going to tell you right now.
I love Lainey Wilson. Here is a little bit of her song called L.A., which we've played on the show before. You say L.A., I think Louisiana, Lower Alabama, stars up in the sky. And I check it out on the latest Bobbycast. She's so interesting. She's a new artist that I really love. Lainey Wilson. Search Bobbycast wherever you listen to your podcast. Yes, Bobby Bones. So match the artist with their tour writer. And what a writer is what you request whenever you go to a venue to do a show. Your three choices are Dierks Bentley, Kid Rock, or Luke Bryan. Okay, this next one's going to be about one of those three. Amy, you're up first. Dierks Bentley, Kid Rock, or Luke Bryan. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
This artist asks for a selection of Fruit of the Loom or Hanes underwear. Specifically, they want a pack of white t-shirts, a pack of white tank tops, and a pack of white boxer shorts. In addition, they ask for a pair of white crew socks. So as part of the rider, all of this is there. And by the way, it's all like white.
Huh, yeah.
I didn't realize that. So Dierks Bentley, Kid Rock, or Luke Bryan. You got the underwear, the t-shirts, white tank tops, white boxer shorts, white crew socks. Is it Dierks Bentley, Kid Rock, or Luke Bryan?
I feel like it's Kid Rock.
You feel like it, or that's your answer?
Sorry. It's Kid Rock.
Okay. That's correct. It's Kid Rock. By the way, just because they have this doesn't mean it's all in theirs. Because mine, when we play theaters, I always request a three-pack of white socks and one pair of red socks.
What's up with the socks?
Because you always like to have clean socks. Like if you travel and you lose socks, I'm on my feet the whole show. So it's just in case.
Okay.
So, and also, I take them home and wear them.
That's right.
I have the greatest sock collection. Okay. Lunchbox.
Yep.
Your three options are Faith Hill, Carrie Underwood, or Shania Twain. Faith Hill, Carrie Underwood, or Shania Twain. On the rider, lemons, papayas, mangoes, bananas, melons, beets, broccoli, and 10 pounds of carrots. The artist also requests a canine sweep the area to deter people from making fake bomb threats. Additionally, they have their own security dog. Now, is that Faith Hill, Carrie Underwood, or Shania Twain?
Oh, man.
Lemons, papayas, mangoes, all this, 10 pounds of carrots.
10 pounds of carrots? I mean, I think...
A canine?
A Canadians like carrots, so I'm going to go with Shania Twain.
Shania Twain, there we go.
Nice. Oh, wow. Okay. Dang. Right. How'd you know that?
I just guessed.
All right.
She's juicing those, right?
I would assume. Imagine she's eating all that for every show. Crap. Eddie.
Come on.
Your options are Tim McGraw.
Love him.
Keith Urban or Sam Hunt.
Ooh, perfect.
This artist asks for two breakfasts, one for before a workout and one for after. Neither seem to have a gram of fat, though. Oh. The singer specifically requests no butter be used ever. The meals are full of fresh vegetables and steamed chicken. After the show, he requests a few cans of Coke and Pepsi for the tour bus.
Coke and Pepsi?
For the tour bus. So
what?
It's Tim McGraw, Keith Urban, or Sam Hunt.
Okay, I've taken Keith out of this.
Why?
I feel like he wakes up later. Doesn't need breakfast. Sam's a big dude. He needs fat in his diet. I'm going with Tim McGraw.
He says Tim McGraw.
What?
Yeah.
It's Sam. Who is it? Keith?
It's Keith.
What? Yeah. Oh my gosh, I got tricked.
Next time he comes in, let's ask him how true this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be an old writer too. All right, Amy and Lunchbox are in. Hey, I'm going to give you guys one. You guys can both guess this one. Eddie, you're out. Sorry, bud.
Thank you.
Your three options are Reba, Dolly, or Carrie. Okay? In this artist's rider, the singer asked for clear plastic solo cups and for all refreshments to be presented and arranged with a delicate touch. While limiting flowers to a minimum, one should strive to bring her sodas and bottled waters in a way that provides an overall pleasing presentation. Is it Reba, Dolly, or Carrie?
Oh.
What? So, like, she wants to be served maybe her soda on a platter?
Maybe.
Says, I got it. I'm in for the win.
Says pleasing.
Pleasing. Golly, okay, I'm in.
Lunchbox?
It has to be Dolly.
Amy?
Yeah, I go Dolly.
Nah, it's Reba.
Ah.
Sorry about that one. We'll just call that one a tie. Nice job, everybody.
All right, everybody's there.
But hey, we learned a lot about our friends here. I wonder how all those riders are.
Yeah, we should ask them all when they come in.
Because, again, if you were to look at mine, it's a bunch of bars. What else is on mine?
Limes.
Oh, limes and orange slices, because I'm 12.
And then soda water. Whatever.
Sparkling water.
Yeah.
And then Eddie has some beer.
I have a bottle of wine now.
Oh, is that what you... Is
trying
that what
to cut out on the beer, yeah.
That's why you have a bottle of wine after shows. I thought you like pulled it out of your pocket. You're like, all right, like a magician.
And I only drink like a glass after a show, so I ended up putting it in my backpack and taking it back to my house.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
There's a mom in Wisconsin. She's got two biological children, single mom, and she was a foster child when she was growing up, and she heard about these six boys, all brothers, aging in range from 4 to 17, that were in the foster care system. She said, you know what? I'll step up. I'll adopt all six.
Wow. Whoa.
So she went from a mom of two to a mom of eight.
Wow.
Yikes.
Single mom of eight.
I mean, wow. Like, those kind of people... Angels.
It's frustrating because they're so good, and I feel like I'm not.
Yeah, like I don't know that I'm like, I don't know that.
Yeah, me either. Like,
honestly.
It frustrates me. I wish I was a better person. Mm-hmm. I look at Eddie fostering two kids.
It.
No, I'm telling you. And I go, I wish I was a better person.
She was a foster kid, you know, so she knew what it was like.
Man, that is what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Jesse Alexander.
She's written so many monster songs, and you know, I'll tell you, Jesse. When your song came out, this one that you're gonna play in a minute, called Mama Drank, I saw it on Dirk's Instagram, Dirk Spentley. And when he posted, I was like, oh, I know Jesse. I love Jesse. Let me go see if her song's any good without letting you know. And I was like, if it's not any good, she'll never know. I didn't think it was any good. And right, Eddie?
That's right.
Like, who knew?
Yeah.
She has written so many big songs. And she wrote The Climb. Miley Cyrus?
Yeah.
Zoe's gonna... Oh, I shouldn't sing it. But
that was so good.
Yeah, so yeah. What we're going to do is do a fun thing where she'll play a little bit of the songs that she wrote for other people, okay. And then she's going to play this song called Mama Drank. And so you've been in Nashville for how long, Jesse?
This will be 20 years.
Wow.
This year.
Wow, so you moved here when you were like 3.
I was 3.
Oh, look at that. Wow.
Actually, 3 and a half.
Wow,
that's
great.
Yeah,
Jesse and I know each other, like, personally because we've sat on boards of really big things, and then we're the ones that are like, I don't even know what they're talking about.
We're the riffraff in the back, like making paper airplanes.
We're the ones that we try to pay attention.
We really want to.
But how many budgets can we actually sit through?
Yeah.
And they have me on to kind of be the guy that is radio, and they have you as one of the songwriter.
Right.
And
right.
So, we kind of bonded over that, and I followed your career, and I'm such a big fan. And let's start with I Drive Your Truck, okay? So you wrote this. This song wins CMA Song of the Year.
Yes, and ACM Song of the Year.
Won both.
And NSAI Song of the Year. It was like a unbelievable dream come true.
When you finish writing a song like that, because I don't know that you had an artist in mind, do you just write it and send it to your publisher and go, okay, see where it lands?
Yeah, a lot of times we'll have someone in mind and we'll start like, because we know who's cutting, so we'll kind of try to tweak it to that person. But that's an example of, I mean, we had big dreams. I know I pitched it to Kenny and Dirks, and I know some people pitched it to Aldean, and it just really, Lee Bryce was the right voice for it. And he cried when he heard it, so it just, we knew it was the right guy.
Well, let's hear a little bit of I Drive Your Truck. Here is Jesse Alexander in right now. She wrote this one, by the way. She's not covering a song. She wrote this song, which is really cool. Hey, guys, so because of licensing rules, we can't play anything with music on this iHeartRadio channel or podcast anymore. But you can go to BobbyBones.com to see it. We hate that we had to take it down. It wasn't our decision, but just wanted to keep you up, and we wanted to keep up as much as possible. So go to BobbyBones.com to watch or hear whatever you're missing right now, and thank you for listening to the show, and sorry about all the legal stuff. Mr. Bobby
Bones.
What did it feel like to write a song, though, that has really touched an emotion? It's touched so many people in the deepest way.
It's crazy. I just feel like it was a dream come true, really.
Man, you sing it so good.
Thanks.
So here's my question, because you wrote The Climb for Miley Cyrus. And when I hear that song, I crank that sucker up. I still love that song.
So good.
So if it comes on the radio, will you turn it up still? Or do you kind of, you've heard it so many times?
Yeah. No, you never, as songwriters, we never get tired of hearing our songs on the radio. I'm sure everyone say that. It's just been really cool. People say, you know, I use that for my chemo treatment or the last mile of my marathon or, you know, obviously getting to watch it on President Obama's inauguration, things like that. American Idol. It's just so awesome. But Miley still just, she just sings it so well. And so I just try to do my own justice. I recorded it with Chris Stapleton on my last record. So check that out because it's a cool version.
If they sing it on American Idol, do you get paid again?
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know how much, but
nice.
It's something.
So how did this song get to, how did you get a movie on that, or a song on that movie?
Okay, so I was a staff writer. I had been writing songs for 9 years, and literally I'd had songs recorded by people, but hadn't had a hit. And I'll be honest, I was seriously thinking about quitting. My husband had just won Song of the Year for Whiskey Lullaby, and he was crushing it as a songwriter, and I wasn't. I'd lost my record deal. I'd lost my publishing deal. I was just writing songs at a new company, and I wrote these words as frustration for, you know, just kicking around Nashville and getting a lot of no's. And so if you hear it in that context, you'll hear just that inner struggle I was having. But it's just so weird for the universe then to reward me with the song that I write with, you know, pour my soul into. And then, wow, a 15-year-old in Los Angeles, you know, it's just incredible.
Did you know it was going to be the main song in the movie?
No, I knew that they wanted me to rewrite it for her because the way I wrote it was a lot more spiritual and obviously a little more adult, and she was 15 at the time. So I just, me and John Mabe, my co-writer, kind of tweaked it. And I mean, it was all so surreal because I was like, y'all don't understand, things like that don't happen for girls like me in Nashville. And they're like, no, we're going to 5 formats with this song. And even when I ran into Miley, she was like, this is going to be huge. And I was like, wow, you know. And in the movie, I actually taught her how to play the song on guitar. I spent a lot of time with Miley when she was filming that movie here. So It was cool.
That's crazy.
The whole thing's just a dream.
Jessie Alexander is here, and now she's going to play a little bit of The Climb that she wrote for Miley Cyrus. Man, isn't it so cool?
Yeah. No, I mean, I never obviously knew the backstory of the song. So hearing that, yeah, it's kind of, I just always pictured Miley singing it and that younger, but knowing that you wrote that here as an adult and you were thinking about quitting. It's cool.
Jessie Alexander's here, and you wrote Mine Would Be You.
Yes.
For Blake Shelton.
Yes.
And yeah, I know you and Blake are, I would use the word cool, like friends. You and Blake are cool.
We're very cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so are you one of the ones that Blake's like, if you got a good song, send it to me?
Absolutely. I've been fortunate to have two songs at least on the last six records, I think. And it's just a great love language we have. For whatever reason, the songs I write, even when he doesn't know I've written them, he picks them up and has recorded them without even knowing that they were mine. But we've written a lot together. We were in Angry Birds together, the movie. We've written gospel songs. We just did one with Red Akins called Tight Grip. So it's, we have a good relationship, a long relationship.
We had a number one with Mine Would Be You, and we're going to hear a little bit of that now from Jessie Alexander. I mentioned that I was on Instagram and I saw Dirks post a picture of your latest song called Mama Drank. And I was like, well, I do like Jessie as a person a lot, so let me go see if I like her song. And it was really good. It really,
it's country.
It almost touched me a bit because I grew up in a really small town in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And I think if you grew up in the country, this song is like, you kind of feel it. Well, if not for you, for someone else.
Well, thank you, because as a songwriter, that's my ultimate compliment. But I really wanted to tip my hat to working mamas, stay-at-home mamas, single mamas, pretty much, you know, anybody that has kind of lived this. And it's kind of funny, tongue-in-cheek, but it's also, you know, trying to pay back to people like Loretta Lynn and Tammy Wynette that wrote songs about real life. So that was kind of my goal.
Well, let's hear it now. This is our new song. You can stream it, download it, sing it to your friends, whatever you want to do. Many ways to spread the word. Here is Mama Drank, the new song from Jessie Alexander. Jessie Alexander in studio right now. And go and get that song, Mama Drank. Now, the record comes out March 27th, so we got a little bit before it comes out. And it's your first time to actually be in studio. We've had you on the phone. You've done the Bobby. Listen to our Bobbycast, by the way. You can scroll back and find it. But it's a really, really good interview. We sat for an hour and just kind of talked about her career. And thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And there she is. Follow her on Instagram, Jessie with an I, L. Alexander. Jessie L. Alexander. And that song is called Mama Drank. And there she is, Jessie Alexander.
Bobby Bone Show.
His family has a white German Shepherd and it gave birth to a litter of puppies. Amy, one of the dogs came out and the puppy was lime green. Did you see the...
Oh, no.
Did you see this on the news?
I didn't.
The family posted a picture and their dog Gypsy had eight puppies, including a male puppy that was just really distinctly green. Why do you think that was?
I have no idea. I don't know.
They say the dog's fur was stained by the poop from another puppy inside the mother's womb. So when the puppy started to get almost full grown to be delivered, it pooped. And because of that, it pooped on the other brother. And then that dog came out fully green. The family was worried when it came out, like, what is this? But it was a little green dog. Isn't that funny?
Aww. Yeah, I started to think, like, I could trying to think of what the mom dog could have eaten to make it green. But I guess so they bathe the puppy and then back to normal?
Well, it takes a while. But what do you think they named the dog? Now, think about this for a second. It's a little green dog. I think you can do this. What do you think they named the little green dog?
The Grinch?
Good one, though. That'd have been good. Grinch. What else?
The little green dog. Mountain Dew?
No, Hulk.
Oh, okay.
That's a good one.
That makes sense.
They named the little dog Hulk. Everybody wants to adopt a little poopy Hulk dog. Yeah. I was also looking at this story. I love the idea of time travel and the thought that eventually we're going to figure it out because we don't even understand time as it is. It's not like we understand how time works. We just live it and go, okay, time moves forward. But we don't really, it's like, we don't even know how Netflix works. We just use it. We don't know how it goes across. So I love these time traveler stories, and they're all full of crap. But what if one of them is true? A man who goes by the name of Casper claims to be a time traveler with firsthand knowledge of what actual food from the future consists of. He claims he's from 2075. Now, by the way, I'm so into this. I'm reading this story like, oh, this is the kind of content that I crave. Because it's probably not true, but I'm eating it up, right?
Now, he says, first of all, before we look at 27.5, there is a great flood of 2063 that's going to do a great deal of damage.
Oh, my.
So I automatically, in my mind, go 2063, I'm going to be 83. So if I go, then I'd led a good life. There are a ton of effects because of global warming. They're melting polar ice caps, coastal flooding. As a result, humans have taken to finding their nourishment in little white capsules. In his video, in a weird accent, he says that food in the future is free for everyone. A jar of little white capsules is delivered to your home, and then you eat one of the pills daily, and there's enough nourishment in each pill to sustain a person for a full day.
So we don't need meals anymore.
It's all there in a pill.
But, interesting.
Yes, Amy.
But so the future misses out on enjoying food?
Possibly, but who knows what we're missing out on that people 100 years thought that, you know, humans are going to miss out on the joy of live baby birth with no drugs whatsoever. Like... There's just...
I know.
It's all relative, right?
Yes, of course, always. But, I mean, they need to know. The future needs to know, like, cake is good.
But sugar is what is going to kill us all.
Well, yes, yeah. I agree. I just mean on a birthday, every once in a while. I don't mean every day.
I mean every day. There's another story that I read that I was just deep into. There's a conspiracy that Elvis is alive, and they have footage of him talking after his death.
Tell me more.
The Elvis Presley is alive conspiracy has struck again, with believers insisting his southern drawl can be heard in unearthed footage from inside his Graceland mansion in 2007.
Come on.
In the caption, it is said, Elvis Presley says left turn is true. In the clip, which is, because Elvis' birthday was 85 last week. So TV host Larry King can be seen wearing a bright red shirt and braces as he introduces Priscilla Presley after an advertisement. It's at Graceland, but a mysterious voice behind the camera says left turn before the interview gets going again. Here you go.
Time left.
We're back, and we're in the remaining moments. Not much time left with Priscilla Presley at Graceland. We're in the...
Hold on, stop. That turn left is what it was? Do that again.
Time left.
Be the cameraman.
Hmm.
Does it sound like Elvis to y'all?
I mean, a little
bit. To me,
bit.
Elvis would say it like this, like, turn left, pretty mama. So that to me.
Yeah. You would hear his jewels jingle or something.
Yeah.
Hmm. Do you think Elvis faked his own death?
I mean, I've thought that.
I think it's possible. No. If you fake your own death, you are making it way better than having a heart attack on the toilet.
Or would you make that so dumb that people would go, you would make, you know?
And the fact, Amy, that you know how he died, that's the whole point of it.
Oh.
That's a fun fact. Yeah,
he died in the toilet. Let me hear the turn. Let's listen to turn. Let's listen to turn left again.
Turn left.
It sounds like young Elvis.
Mm. Stop it! Doesn't sound like Elvis at all.
Turn left.
Hey, pretty lady, won't you give me a little left turn over there? I'm rocking like a hound dog. If he just said that, I'd have been like, "That's Elvis."
You rocking like a hound dog.
Okay. Bobby Bones.
Yeah. You guys continue to get us these questions. You text them, you Facebook them, you Instagram them. Whatever you want to know, we try to gather them and do one segment here with the questions. Morgan number two has them. Morgan number two, what's the first question?
Does Bobby have a girlfriend?
No. Well, I'm going to say no. How about that?
What?
I think it's fair to say no, but you can't say no. No.
Sure he can.
What does that mean? Like, is there fish on the line?
Bones?
Like, are you trying to reel some in?
What do you think?
I don't think that it's a girlfriend.
Fair.
Which was the question.
Fair.
True. So fine. Say no.
So I like no.
But listen, if I was her and I was listening right now and I heard him answer that question passionately, no.
No, I wasn't passionately. I was kind of confused.
Oh, okay. All right.
There just hasn't, that word isn't used.
Right. Mm.
Whoa. So I don't even feel comfortable having this
part of the
conversation.
I don't even want to say anything. I don't know what I need to say or what I'm supposed to say. And I always ruin everything. So I'm just
but you got to treat this like a court case.
What
There's
do you mean?
The question. What's the answer?
Okay, no. We elaborate a little bit more.
It would just be no.
Right.
But you're struggling. This could be telling because you're struggling.
I know.
You can't just say no. You're struggling with saying no.
We're
going to
leave it
like
here.
A no.
That word has just not been used.
So that makes me think it could be on the horizon.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I mean, I'm not saying that in a passionate way. It's just like I wasn't expecting that question. but that word hasn't been used.
Okay,
yet.
I have a. Don't you think?
Don't say too much.
Okay.
But go ahead.
She can't talk now.
Now I can't talk because I never know. I would like to say this. Could Eddie and I have the opportunity to hang?
Well, we don't know that there's a hang, but oh,
at some point before, I mean,
Eddie
you
has.
Would really. When?
We'll hold off. What are you going to stop there?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I'm going to the bathroom.
Now I know.
Eddie's going to the bathroom. I don't even know what you're talking about. All right.
I just feel like for someone to become that and they haven't,
absolutely.
I haven't met them,
that'd
probably,
be weird. You're probably right.
Weird.
Fair. Fair point.
Wow. Morgan number two, is there a follow-up? Like
that was just it. That was the question.
There's not a follow-up. Like,
all right, next up, Morgan number two, next question.
How is Bobby able to vote for the Grammys, Golden Globes, and Oscars?
Because for some reason, I've been registered. I think because I'm SAG-AFTRA. I don't know how I get put in these things. I'm in the Grammy. Eddie and I are both Grammy voters.
Correct.
I don't know. I don't know. How do we get to be Grammy voters?
We pay to be part of the Grammy.
Do we?
Yeah, the Associate, whatever the Grammy, whatever that organization is.
All I know is I get all the movies sent to me. I vote.
But when you started doing TV stuff, you became part of the union?
Maybe. But I don't know the answer to that, but I do get to vote in all that.
You don't know.
I don't know, but I do. What else, Morgan number two?
Was there ever a time Bobby was interested in Amy pre-husband?
Oh, great.
No.
No. No. Because that would mean there's possibility.
Oh, yeah. So, no.
When I met Amy, she was, well, relax over there.
Oh, okay.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing.
When I met Amy, she was already talking to her husband a bit. Right? With the wedding?
Yeah, I mean, it was, because I didn't really know what was going on with him, and then we were becoming friends, but, like, on a friendly level, too, you were also sort of interviewing me to be your co-host, but I didn't know it. Like, you were just...
That's true. When I met Amy and we were friends, I was like, man, she might end up being good for the radio show, and I definitely don't want to poop where I eat.
It's true.
Right, but we would hang out, and he would invite me to dinner and, like, the movies, and my husband, which we had just started dating, of course, he sees that as, like, oh, who is this guy? Like, what's up? Like, are y'all? And then, so that was the issue right then. But I was like, I swear it's nothing. Like, we're just friends. And we were always. So, but then once I really was dating my husband and then engaged, I can't remember if we were engaged when this happened, but we were hanging out so much. And I'd started the show and we worked together. And we were together all the time. And
I
was on the phone.
You have to say it in that tone. She acts like it's miserable.
No, it wasn't.
We were just together.
No, it was awesome. But for my husband, I think fiance at the time, or maybe we were dating. Whatever it was, on the phone, I called him Bobby.
I remember that.
It was so bad.
Amy called her fiance Bobby.
Yes. It was so... He was saying something, and to stop him, I wanted to say his name, which is Ben, at least the size of a B. And I said, Bobby. And, oh, man, that... I don't know.
Awesome.
That did not go well. It might still sting, even
awesome.
Though he's way over that and now y'all
to
are friends.
To be fair, he has a B name.
Yes.
And he was deployed.
And
you and I were together all the time.
That's what I just said.
I know,
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Nothing ever even almost romantic has happened with us.
No.
And we've been together how long?
Almost 14 years.
14 years.
So, but Bones, what was the movie stuff? Like,
I went to see Cars.
Did you think possibly, like, oh,
no.
She was already dating her husband. Because she was like, she was talking to her husband. She's like, I went to a wedding. I like this guy. But he lives in Colorado. He's deployed. And I was like, that's never going to work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I was giving her good advice, dude. I was like, long distance. That's stupid.
Okay,
don't waste your time.
He was stationed in England at the time at Mildenhall.
I gave some bad. Good thing she didn't send that in the mailbag.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bobby's advice is always right.
Yeah. But no, the answer to that question is no.
No.
There really hasn't. I think I wrote about that in my first book, too. Oddly, because when I would see a man and a woman together all the time, I would think there's probably something happening. But because I've lived it and there hasn't ever been anything happening, I am a little more open to the possibility of it not. Mm-hmm. But just barely, because I think we're unicorns.
Oh, we are.
Most other two people, they probably do it. All right. What else, Morgan number two?
Are Amy's kids liking their new school?
Yes, they love it. So it's still very fresh, but they are so excited. And the teachers are great. They send me emails and pictures, and they're just smiling. They're so cute in their little uniform.
So I was going to ask, are they in the uniforms?
Yes.
Does that cost money?
Yeah, but the great thing is we bought three that are on rotation. And so we know what we're wearing every day. It takes the pressure off of needing to buy other clothes that they need. It's so great. I mean, I wish uniforms were all around. Hopefully on the weekends and stuff, if they need to create, you know, express their creativity through clothing, they can on the weekend. But I'm pumped about the uniform. And luckily, they like it right now. And I think it's going to be so good for them. So Shira is taking a YouTube class as an elective.
Oh.
How cool is that?
YouTube.
Wow. Well, I'm taking a TikTok class, but at home alone. It's an independent study. Yeah. Morgan, number two, anything else?
Yeah, which artist sings Bobby Bones, then giggles?
Here is that clip in one of our, we call it imaging pieces. Here you go. This is a Bobby Bones show. Bobby Bones. Well, it feels like that's Maddie and Tay on the front. Is it? This is... Play that again, Raymundo, because I don't know the answer to this. This is a Bobby.
Oh, I know who
Ray
that
Lynn?
Is.
Who is that?
That's Danielle Bradbury.
Yes.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Good call. Wow. Okay, that's Danielle Bradbury. Yeah. Play one more time and we'll hear it as we know it's Danielle Bradbury. This is a Bobby Bones show. Bobby Bones. nice.
Cool.
All right, Morgan, number two, is that it?
Yes.
All right, those are your questions. Thank you very much. Again, you can ask them on Facebook or even text us.
The Bobby Bones Show.
So there are two different general strains of the flu, type A, type B, and both are circulating this year, which is super rare. And unfortunately, it means that you can actually get the flu twice this year. The only good part about getting the flu is that you build your antibodies up so you won't get it again anytime soon. So if you get it, I take that back. The other good thing is you get pretty skinny. You feel pretty good. That's not on this
You don't have
paper.
To go to work for a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, but I don't like that. I like going to work. Okay. But I mean, you do feel kind of skinny for a little bit. But again, not healthy. But the real thing is if you do get it, you don't get it for a while, except now this year it's a double strain. So and I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm more the guy that brings you knowledge and information. Mm-hmm. Wash your hands. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to end this story with wash your hands. It's not 100% foolproof, but everything that anyone else's hands have touched, you touch it, you now have it in your hand. Then you touch your eyes or your nose or your mouth, then it goes in your system.
Because what do you say people do with their hands?
They put it in their butts.
That's right.
And if they don't put it in their butts, they've touched somebody else's hand who's had it in their butt.
Right.
Eventually, there's been a butt in your mouth.
But you put it that way.
Eventually, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. That's all. What's happening today, Amy?
I am just getting some podcast work done. I'm like meeting with a girl about this big adoption podcast I'm going to do. So I'm super excited about that because obviously I've adopted two kids from Haiti. So I just feel like it's going to be really, really interesting to me. What about you?
I have a couple meetings today. Pretty cool ones. I have one with a big production company and a network.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. And then another lunch today with the head of a different network.
Dang.
So things are going pretty good right now in this situation.
Do those two networks know you're having lunch with another meeting and another?
Well, they don't. They don't not know.
Yeah, they don't need to know.
I mean, didn't ask if I was going to.
That's pretty cool, man.
Because if one asks, right, then you have to say.
Of course.
But I'm in that stage now where you just go and talk to all the networks.
Right.
And then eventually you pick one.
It's awesome.
It's like a Seinfeld episode where it's a metaphor for networks and dating. And I got that. I'm pretty pumped. Today should be a big day. Hope everybody out there has a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. You can follow me on Instagram at Mr. Bobby Bones.
Oh, and then tonight people can watch Dustin Lynch's album release.
Amy is hosting that in New York. She's in New York right now. I'm in California right now. Eddie is in Nashville right now.
Yeah.
We are all over the country doing this show. So I have these meetings, Amy's tonight. And you can go over to the, Morgan number two, what's the account?
It's at Live by Live.
Okay. There it is. Do it again this time.
Sorry. Live by Live.
I'll do it again though.
Try one more time. Long day. Live by Live.
Which is Live X Live.
Live. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you can watch that there or just go to Amy's account and you'll be able to see that too at Radio Amy. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you on Wednesday's show. Thank you today. Let's see. Let me look back at the show and see what maybe people want to check out from today's show. If you want to go back, Jesse Alexander was in, who played. Well, you can hear the interview, but you can't hear the music, right? But she on this show did. You can watch it on our Instagram page at Bobby Bone Show.
Yes.
She wrote "I Drive Your Truck," so she played that. Some Blake Shelton stuff. She has a new song out called "Mama Tried." Also, listeners texted in a bunch of questions. Anyway, hit it up. The podcast at Bobby Bone Show or Bobby Bone Show on Demand. All right, thank you very much. Bye, everybody.
Bobby Bones is on.